I've asked Dale if he would lead us in prayer this morning. Bow and pray.
I'm a junior too.
Holy Father, we thank you for the new day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for this hour this morning. Thank you, Brother Toby. He's going to lead us. Thankful that you're here with us this morning. And Father, we just pray that you will strengthen us today, and give us the wisdom and understanding and the patience to represent you as you want us to. Father, we want to pray for victims of storms and fires and stuff that you be with them. We know you are anyway, but they're on our minds. Father, we thank you that Ed's here this morning and with us. Thank you that Don's getting better too. Father, we're thankful that you love us, love us with us, give us your spirit to lead us, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Not using Dr. Hennecke's sheets. He'll catch up with those when he gets back. I want to go back with Paul and Timothy again. That's an unusual relationship, and we don't have a whole lot of information about it, other than what we can glean from other of Paul's writings and his writings to Timothy. But that had to be a wonderful experience for this young man. I don't know just how old he is when Paul meets with him, but he's old enough that his parents will allow him to travel with Paul. And so Paul takes him on these various journeys with him, which I think is a marvelous thing. I did not realize what a blessing it would be for me in my lifetime for my mentor, Aubrey Ponce, who was my pastor when I was just a boy. But he took me under arm, and we talked about the scripture. Now, can you imagine talking to an 8 and a 9 year old about scripture? I mean, I'm thinking about baseball and root a pig. Y'all don't know about that, but we used to flip the knife. You remember flipping? You don't? Well, you people sophisticated, you don't remember that. But anyway. Anyway, he would take me to the prisons, to the jail services with him, and scared me to death at first when I first going to jail. Wait, I don't want to go to no jail. Oh yeah, that's you got people in there who are really under conviction. He had a double twist of that. He said, but you'll have a congregation and they can't leave. So I would go with him, and then he would take me out to the park. We had I'm sorry to tell you all this problem going on, but it was Confederate Park in Jacksonville, Florida. You can imagine that, and it had a gazebo thing out there in the middle of it, big place, and he would preach out there to the people in the parks, and so he would take me with him. And so he said to me one day, you need to talk to these guys about John 3:16. And so he and I talked about it, and I go to this jail service, and they let me talk about John 3:16. Well, Timothy was like this with Paul. Paul took him on these missionary journeys. You have to read through various places when you realize that Timothy is with him. And he thinks so much of him that he leaves him over in Asia Minor and says to him, now I want you to oversee these church groups over here now. And I have a feeling that most of them were house churches. And he says, you need to kind of oversee them some. Then later on he says to him, I think you need to go over here and take care of the church at Ephesus. And then he says to him, I think you might need to go up to, Pastor says, Philippi. To Philippi and oversee this church over here. So it must have been a wonderful thing for this young man to have the tutelage of the great apostle Paul over these years. And so Paul's going to write him a letter or two. Now, I don't know. It didn't dawn on me when I'm reading these things that maybe part of these letters are missing. I mean, when you write a letter, don't you always put a date on it? I mean, somewhere at the top or the bottom or someplace, you'll put a date on there. Well, they evidently cut it off because we don't have any dates on them. And that just gets Bible people and scholars and these people. It's interesting to watch them try to figure out. Now, this must have been when it was written. Well, I don't have an exact date for you, but we do know that Paul was in prison in Rome between the late 50s and the early 60s. So somewhere in there, he's writing this letter, these two letters, to his young friend Timothy, who probably is not very young by this time. It's interesting to me about Paul, because in my screwed up mind, I look at him in so many different ways. Paul was not just a great scholar among the Hebrews. His family had some kind of influence among the Romans. Because you remember that when he's going to trial, he reminds the king, I am a citizen of the empire. Oh, really? Now, he's enough of a citizen that it takes that, okay, we'll send you to Rome. And a group of the people, you remember, said, he's not going to Rome, we're going to kill him. And so what does the king do? The king gives him guards and takes him on board the ship. And we sometimes think he was imprisoned on the ship. Well, yeah, he was. But not because they didn't want him to get out, but because they didn't want anybody getting in. Right? And when they're having problems, who do they call for? Paul. When they ask for directions about whether these guys ought to leave the ship or not, do they go to the captain who's supposed to be the guy in charge? No, they go to Paul. When he gets to Rome, it's kind of interesting. He goes to jail. Did you notice the jail that he was in? Now, they kept him in the prison for a little while, but the next thing you know, he is in a house arrest with a guard. Maybe more than one guard. Are they there to keep him in the house? No, they're there to keep people away from him. Now, then it gets kind of muddy. And you can think what you want to about it, and I'll think like I want, and we don't try to change each other's mind. But somewhere along the line, though, there is some words about Paul, the prisoner, going to Spain. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, I'm going to have to tell you, from my mind, Paul's story ends there. Now, Fox, when he wrote his Book of Martyrs, has him come back to Rome and they behead him in Rome. There are no historical data that'll back that up that I have found. Find some, send it to me, and I'll ignore it. But he's writing this letter to his young friend Timothy, because he knows that Timothy has an unusual upbringing. Timothy has a Greek, non-Jewish father, but he has a grandmother and a mother, Eunice and Lois, Lois and Eunice, who are not only Jewish, they are Christian Jews. What a household to grow up in. And so Paul knows that this boy is very familiar with what's going on in the Greek world. He knows about their morality. He knows about their thinking process. He knows about their church relationships. I mean, he's old enough that he has become well known among the Greeks. He knows about the philosophers. Paul says to him, now, Timothy, especially in your churches in Greece, you're going to face a number of problems. But I want you to keep in mind this one thing. Whatever else you're going to talk about, remember this, that godliness and faith in Christ Jesus is the center of life. It is what makes the Christian a Christian. At all times, at all places, under all circumstances, under all conditions, Jesus Christ is first and foremost. That preached today, wouldn't it? He said, you're going to have some fellows come who have been known as golden tongue orators. They're going to speak really well. And they're going to convince your people if you aren't careful. Any of them who come and they're going to speak about anything other than Christ Jesus as we have taught you, watch them carefully. Warn the people about them. We don't have a whole lot of that going on nowadays except on television. We don't seem to have a whole lot of those kinds of people wanting to come to our churches nowadays and speak. In the earlier days, they did, you know. In the earlier days, the guy would just show up. I've done that myself. When I was teaching over at Trevecca, I had a full-time salary, and when it came vacation time, I just show up at a guy's church and say to him, we're going to have some meetings this week. He said, we are? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
I remember right after Vietnam, tent revivals were just springing up everywhere. Mm-hmm. It seemed like another renaissance of the 1930s, you know, and Billy Sunday and all that. So they just kind of like a revolution there.
Yeah, so Paul says now, be careful about these guys when they come up and just show up like that in your congregations. They're going to want to become leaders in your church. And you remember I talked last time about these qualifications that leaders were supposed to have. They're going to be leaders. They need to be godly men. And here's how you can tell if they're godly men. Do they put Jesus Christ as Lord? That's first and foremost. Do they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do they believe He lives today in your heart? Folks, that would preach today. I mean, That's good for people to know today. And he said, now these guys are going to quote people like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, and they're going to sound like they're just really on top of things. Watch them. Test them. Make sure they know what they're doing. And so Timothy goes to these churches to work with these people and who the leaders of their churches were. Did you ever notice we don't have a single sermon by Timothy? Timothy didn't write any books. We got letters to him, but we don't have any letters going back. And Paul seems to be the only one that talks about Timothy and what he's doing. And so Paul is trying to say to Timothy, Timothy, first and foremostly, what you want to do is you want to lead the people into the words of Jesus Christ as I have taught you. Most of us are at that age right now where we should be feeling sort of like Paul was. We need to have somebody in our grasp that we're leading into the growing grace of Jesus Christ. Young people need us. They don't know it. They don't believe it. They don't understand it. But you never get so old, but that Christ can live out through you with His Holy Spirit and use you as a personal help to somebody out there. Sometimes it's an older person. I didn't know I was going to grow to be old. But when I was a young man growing up in my church, particularly, I loved the old folks to be there because they knew how to pray. They knew how to have faith. They knew how to believe in spite of circumstances and situations and problems. My first church, I didn't have any really older people on my church board. And that very first year, they said to me, well, now it's time for us to renew this guy's local preacher's license. And I said, well, I'll talk with him. Oh, no, we just automatically do that. Well, not on my shift. And so they delayed it for the next board meeting. And I went to him and talked with him. And I said to him, Harold, I have a problem or two here. You don't really believe the doctrines of the church. And I don't understand how you would want to have a license to be a local minister and not believe the teachings of the church. Well, he said, I just want it so that when you're not here, I can preach. I said, well, what are you going to preach? You're not going to preach on tithing. He felt like tithing was an Old Testament thing, and what you do is you put a box in the back of the church, and everybody will put money in it. That's fine. If they don't, that's fine. And he did not believe in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the cardinal doctrine of our church. And I said to him, I don't understand why you would want to have a local preacher's license. Now, and let me remind you, I was only 30-some years old at that time. And so I didn't have anybody in my church much older than that, that was on the board. And so when we came back to the board meeting, I'm there in trepidation because I know during all this board meeting, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to bring up this question about Harold. And sure enough, the question came up about Harold, and I said to them, I cannot sign that kind of a document. But I just want to tell you, it did not go well that night. It was not a happy board meeting. And it kind of caused a little bit of division in among the people of the church until they began to realize, and I wasn't going to tell them why. They asked me why, and I said, well, I think you better ask him instead of me. He and I have had this conversation, and you can talk to him about it. But I loved that the older people in my church, and I had talked with a number of them about this, how we should deal with this. And they said, well, you're absolutely right. If he doesn't believe the doctrine of the church, he ought not be a preacher in the church. And so I grew up with these older people, and I've come to the conclusion that one of the things about Paul is that even in his older age, he finds people like Timothy and Titus and Philemon, who he has kind of brought along and takes them into the church and works with them. And then he says, now Timothy, just remember this. When these people come to your church, be an example to them in the faith in Jesus Christ. Now that went right over your head. Shoo! But folks, if people come to our church and don't see that, don't sense that, don't grasp that, we have missed it. We have missed it. I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling. Sunday night services used to be what we call the evangelistic service, by which we meant, let's bring in these sinners that we brought in Sunday morning, let's get them back on Sunday night, and let's get them under conviction, let's pray them through. Does pray through ring a bell to you? I don't want to assume that you know what I'm talking about. But we wanted to get them saved. Nowadays, we've gone back to Paul's day, and we've started house churches. So Sunday night, we send a group out here, and a group out there, and a group out here, and a group out here, and a group out there. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have the right kind of people in charge, you're in for a disaster. Because they will talk about everything except Jesus. I've been to some of them. I don't go to them anymore. I probably should, just so I'd be a thorn in the flesh. But gentlemen, this is one of the most unusual groups of men you're going to meet anywhere in your goings. Amen. There are not going to be many groups of men that will get together here and talk about things like we talk about. We don't really talk about the Titans or the Predators or the weather or anything except the Bible and about Jesus and about what God means to us. Paul says, Timothy, when you go to these house churches, check who's in charge. And make sure that they are teaching the people as I have taught you and as I have taught them. Make sure that they're in the Word of God. Now, folks, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the prophets. They had all that. And he is supposed to be able to say to them, they missed it. Here's what it was all about. It's about Jesus. It's about the Messiah. It's about the God-man. And you need to make sure that that's what they're teaching in these groups. That's one of the things I have marveled about Dr. Hendrick in this group here. And yeah, you know, he has several other groups too, and he worries about the other groups because when he's gone, they just kind of seem to fall apart. He said to me one day, I don't have a Toby in these other groups. I said to him, you're blessed. but they scatter when he's gone. This group is here. We may chat about other things like heart problems and toe problems and leg problems and aches and pains and getting old. But basically we come here because we want to talk about what Jesus Christ means to us. Paul says, whatever else you're going to do, Timothy, tell the people, Jesus Christ is Lord. Every day, He's Lord. When you go through the cities, remember, He's your Lord. Because he knew that Timothy was keenly aware of the debauchery that went on among the Greeks. They had some strange thinking in their day. And some of them would come into the church and say to him, you know, you need to be a good philosopher. You need to understand Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and what they meant about the Spirit and about... And Paul said, Timothy, they've missed it. They're wrong. And you need to tell the people that the Word of God that we're teaching may have started among the Hebrews, but God is the creator of the universe and all of them are His people, and He wants to redeem them all. And that can be found in the belief in Jesus Christ. I don't know, we use that topic area so glibly sometimes. But folks, the essence of what Paul has taught in this word and what Jesus taught for Paul to understand is that God came and walked among us.